Regular readers of the Colorado Springs Independent may have noticed that the byline of reporter Bryce Crawford has been scarce the last few weeks. That's because earlier this month, Crawford left his post at the paper, where he'd spent the last 6 years covering everything from the marijuana industry to the local food scene to politics and the arts in southern Colorado. Now he's got a new gig, writing for a website he created called Rocky Mountain Food Report, dedicated to food news from the Pikes Peak region. I recently spoke with Crawford about his new project, his career as a food writer, and his take on the state of the culinary arts in Colorado Springs. Bryce Crawford, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
So you were at the Independent since 2009, is that right?
That's right. Started as an intern in that August.
How did you get your start specifically as a food writer, as somebody who has opinions that people trust about food?
A position I've always been honored to have. It's kind of a simple story. I started as an intern and wouldn't let them kick me out. And I'd always had an interest in food and interest in eating, and I always thought I had a decent palate. But ended up meeting the food writer there, Matthew Schnipper. He was the editor and doing half the reviews and editing all of them. Just made my interest known, and it worked out that there was the second writer who he was splitting reviews with ended up stopping doing them. And I got the shot and did it for probably 3.5 or 4 years.
And do you remember the first food review that you wrote?
I do. The very first one never even ran. It was this little restaurant out on South Academy, a little soul food restaurant. And you walked in, and it was almost entirely concrete. And there was a boombox in the corner pumping out R&B jams at like 2 p.m. So we're grooving. But yeah, it ended up closing days before our review ran. So my very first one never even made it.
Have you always been a foodie, someone who sort of thinks about food?
I think so. I mean, I don't even like that word, but it doesn't. It's just because it ends in IE. I don't know.
Right.
But I think so. You know, and I hadn't done a ton of cooking prior to getting the writing job. I had worked in restaurants, but it was mostly waiting tables. To me, the restaurant environment is so interesting. I can just sit there and document it. It's almost more interesting to me than the food. You know, sort of the structure and the mood, that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, my mom had been cooking for a long time, and that was more a beans and onions type thing. So, I ended up taking, you know, cooking more once I got the job, and I really appreciated the craft. But I'd certainly always been interested in restaurants.
Mm-hmm. And while you were at the Indy, you also acquired at some point the sort of the marijuana beat. Is that right? The cannabis column was yours.
Exactly. So it was, that's actually why I got hired on. I was interning, and then I went part-time for a couple months and then full-time. But I was hired on to write this cannabis column. It was brand new at the time. It was going to be that, and I was going to do some arts and entertainment reporting. And then I just kind of kept all that stuff and then added food and then added news reporting. And I ended up writing everything except music, basically.
Was food sort of the primary interest for you?
Food's always been what I've loved writing the most. I find it so rich, just, you know, there's no shortage of detail you can dive into that isn't kind of interesting no matter what. So I never got to write as much of it as I wanted, but they didn't necessarily need me to. They had good food staff. But there's been a lot I've wanted to do over the years that I didn't necessarily get a chance to for one reason or another. But yeah, food gets me going.
Over the last several years, it seems like, at least from my perspective, Colorado Springs has been slowly, the food scene here has been getting stronger and stronger, and restaurants that you might expect to find in a bigger city have been mm-hmm. opening. What's your sense of that been as someone who's been very intimately watching and connected to the food scene here? What's been your sense of how the food scene here has changed since you started covering it?
Sure. It was strange to come into covering the food scene at the height of the recession. So I got a real clean sense of it at its bottom. And it's definitely grown. I mean, it's really exciting, actually. But I think, you know, obviously in the last 5 years, you've had the economy changing, so people have more money to put into restaurants and that kind of thing. But there's also just a faster pace of things evolving. I recently reviewed, my last review for the Indy actually was a Cleats Bar and Grill out on Powers. Cleats is a fine place. You know, it's kind of a dive. But they've got Leopold Gin, and they're making craft cocktails. And maybe it's not where you'd go for it, but the fact that that's the new standard, I mean, is fascinating. But there's so many places you can find interesting stuff. And there's so many times you'll find your little coffee shop has got this crazy, you know, South American sandwich with this, you know, some cilantro sauce that you're just blown away by. And you know, it's not advertised heavily or anything, but that's discovering that kind of thing and finding it more and more often. I definitely think that's happening.
And Colorado Springs is sort of famously associated with the book Fast Food Nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea of Colorado Springs as being just a place where there's only chain restaurants, there's only, you know, we won't mention any names, but I wonder for you, has part of what's interesting about the work that you do been about taking on this narrative and these sort of perceptions about not just the food scene here, but this city more generally, and what a kind of vibrant food scene can represent for a city?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I don't even know if I think that's true to begin with. It seems like we have a lot of chains opening here and a lot coming and going. So we're apparently at the forefront of these franchisees' plans. I don't know how that compares to other places, honestly. But I mean, at the same time, maybe it's Fort Carson or the military or something else. But I think we have a wide variety of just cuisine, you know, from Ethiopian to, you know, the Chilean and the South American and that kind of thing. And I also don't know how that compares either, but it seems really robust if I read accounts from other cities. You know, they say, oh, we just got this new restaurant. I'm like, oh, we have three of those, you know? And maybe we don't stand on that reputation. And there's a lot of things in the way. Maybe again, from the military, people are used to eating at the same kind of places, and they like that consistency from location or city to city. Or people in general just like food they can count on. But I don't think it's that hard to find. I don't think it's that hard to get into. I do think the consistency is a huge thing, and some people have a real problem with it, and that can turn a diner off on the first visit.
So tell me a little bit about the Rocky Mountain Food Report, and first of all, what it is and why you wanted to make it happen.
Definitely. So the Rocky Mountain Food Report is a food news website I started. I didn't quit with the intention of starting it, but in the process of quitting, it came to me that this is still something I cared very much about, and I don't see any reason I couldn't bring what I learned to this. So there's a lot of food news that doesn't get covered for a lot of different reasons, most of it just being space and time. And a lot of stuff I would see come through my inbox or come across that I wasn't able to put the word out on. So I know it's a deep pool, and I would really hate for people not to know that too. So just even sharing my interest in exposing that is what I'm hope people get away from the website, get from the website.
So it's meant to be kind of a clearinghouse for food-related news, or I assume some reviews as well?
I'm not doing any reviews right now because I don't have the budget for it, but I'm doing a lot of original reporting, the most I can. I'm aggregating stuff the Indian, the Gazette is doing, and then every other day or so I do a national rundown of links. So I don't know if one-stop shop has any meaning anymore, and you know, no one is as comprehensive as they hope to be, but mostly I'm bringing original reporting and hoping to be out front on all that stuff.
I wonder if you could speak a little bit to the question of what is the role and significance of a food writer in the age of Yelp, in the age of, you know, these sites that you can go to and it's, you know, what do I want? Oh, here's the top rated restaurant for this. Like, what do you see your role being in that sort of landscape?
And I'm not even sure I know exactly what my role should be, but I guess the way I think of it is that there's an audience for everything. So if you've got, you know, you want to check out Yelp and you want to see what the aggregate is and you want to decide to trust that, that's fine. It works sometimes. Or if you do enjoy a more cultivated experience, or you enjoy, you know, the personality of a writer, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of talk about authority and expertise. And if you care about that, sure, I would love you to catch what I'm doing. And if you don't, that's why I think Yelp and those kind of things do so well, is there's kind of a populist attitude in some consumers, and that's fine.
One thing that I've always been struck by, you know, I live downtown Colorado Springs. A lot of times when I think about Colorado Springs and the food in Colorado Springs, I think about downtown or the West Side. But one of the things I think you've done really well is cover and introduce people to restaurants out east and in the kind of places that maybe downtown people don't get to as often in this city. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the process of finding restaurants, and especially finding restaurants that might be kind of hole in the wall or, you know, in a strip mall somewhere that you wouldn't otherwise go to expecting great food. How do you do that? How do you go about finding those places?
Well, it comes in all ways. And then thank you for your words. It's a focus of the newspaper as well to keep a geographic balance. But I love getting out to those side places. And it comes all different ways. One place on Platte, Los Americanos, I found just the most amazing, like, shredded beef cheek. And I got it off thediverview.com. He's just a local dude who blogs, and he writes up individual reviews. So I found it there. Driving past is a great way to find it. and we'll get people tipping us off fairly frequently that this, you know, we got two or three emails about the new breakfast place on Academy in Austin Bluffs that I cannot remember right now, but I had some amazing pork there, and we got emails about that. Sometimes they come through complaints, why haven't you covered me? You know, there's just no bad way to find out about a place, and I hate to say it, but it comes in all forms.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I think maybe other people can identify with this, but I'm kind of the type to not go to a place until somebody else has told me that it's good, you know? And so I wonder, I guess it takes a special kind of person to just drive by a place and be like, well, geez, I've never been there. I don't know what that's like, but I'll try it. I mean, do you feel like that's just part of your personality to just want to try new places and see what it's like?
Definitely. And, you know, I've got the professional motivation as well. But yeah, I'm always sort of hoping to be surprised. You know, with the review, you try and come in with as clean a mind as possible so it can just leave an impression on you. And that's what you're translating to people. But you get a certain impression from the signage and the outside and their social media presence and if they answer the phone and, you know, if you can find their hours anywhere. All these things draw a picture. But for me, I definitely am always kind of hoping to be surprised. And if not surprised, I just, you know, I'm looking for a good meal. And I completely understand a reticence to just pop into places when times are tight and dollars are short. But I've always enjoyed that.
What advice would you have as a food reviewer, as a person who's gone out and seen the best of the best and the worst of the worst, to someone who's opening up a new restaurant in a place like Colorado Springs, if you could just give them some advice right off the bat, what would it be?
Sure. Have a select amount of food that's dialed in, that's good every time, so that your first-time customers, you're not losing them with the second bite. Be reachable, answer your phone, be consistent in communication, tell people, tell the media. You know, every time there's a restaurant that's been floating around, we're just sort of taken aback when we never hear about it. And because at the worst, we would tell everyone. So tell the media. I mean, I almost think the small menu is the biggest thing. I don't know if it has to be small, but whatever you're serving, make sure it's tight every time. I've been on different panels and, you know, heard from restaurateurs who are saying, you know, we need some time to get going. And I can appreciate that. I hate for it to happen on the back of my dollars or on the readers. You know, it's a tough place to be. So I would hope they could be dialed in beforehand, but people are going to be pinging you for the first time. So try and make that something they want to do again.
Another thing that I've always been sort of interested in about food reviewers is the special power that you have to sort of make or break, in some cases, a restaurant, you know, and to go to a place that maybe nobody's ever heard of before and rave about it, and then all of a sudden they've got people coming in the door, or the opposite can happen, you know, a new restaurant opens up and, you know, they bomb.
Right.
And what's been your relationship to that power that you have as a reviewer and as a critic?
Just in general, I've never actually been sure how true that was one way or the other, because I will have bad experiences at a place, and I'll write that up, and that place, in one instance, is still open, and that was 4 years ago. And then in others, you know, they go down, and you loved it. You never know, but you do hear about a bump. You know, sometimes people will get a lot of customers in, and sometimes you hear that they were hurt as well. I guess that part is a very tender part of the job to me. I very much feel the weight of impacting other people's lives. But the job description is pretty simple. Go and write about your experiences. But the fact that can impact people in real life and maybe help a place, which is great. I mean, it's a great feeling. It's one of my favorite feelings to hear about a restaurant that was helped by something I did. And it's not vindictive when I write the negative. And it's something I carry around, I guess. And I just want to acknowledge the imbalance, I guess, between the reviewer and the restaurant.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about some of the things going on in Colorado Springs in the food scene here. What are some things that have you excited about where the food culture in this town and in this region is headed?
Mm-hmm. Probably for me primarily is cocktails. I'm not a cocktail expert. I'm just a dedicated enthusiast. But I think we've seen a lot of development led by the Blue Star and the principal's office and in cocktail culture. And, you know, there's a whole trendy aspect to this that can be pretty obnoxious. But if you can set that aside and just the quality of alcohols coming out and being used, Tapatria, I've never known how to say that, but has just started. It's a new advanced cocktail program, and Alchemy is playing with different things. And there's a lot more round ice with flowers in them. And, you know, the whole trend aspect you can take or leave. But just like I was saying with cleats, the focus on quality and interestingness, I'm just seeing it more and more. And now we're getting the, you know, a second interest might be the craft distillery movement. I think we're up to 4 or 5 in the region, you know, led by 291, but there are many others. And Axe in the Oak makes an amazing product. So I guess it's booze. Booze is on my mind.
Is there a specific cocktail that you get that you can tell if they do that right, all the stuff is good?
I tend to measure everybody by how they make an old fashioned. And I've been surprised, you know, good restaurants have made me bad old fashions and vice versa. So I never know, but I like to try that one out. I think it's pretty simple. I think the inclusion of mashed maraschino cherries or not is fairly indicative, but yeah, that's the one.
Are there any restaurants or bars or whatever that you know about that are maybe in the pipeline that you've heard rumblings about that have you excited?
There's one that I'm trying to talk to now, and maybe by the time this airs, they'll be going strong. But there's Sun Mountain Cafe I see is opening on Colorado Avenue. And they're talking about doing sort of a craft coffee experience by day and cocktails and I think sandwiches and maybe small plates, another annoying buzzword, but by night, which doesn't mean the food can't be good. But so I think that's been coming down the pipeline, and then I've got some other stuff. But
yeah, well, I'll let you hang on to your trade secrets there. I guess lastly, I'm curious to know your thoughts on what you think we're as a city lacking in terms of. Is there a really obvious like restaurant or bar or coffee concept that you've seen in other places that you think would work here that you're surprised doesn't exist?
Nothing hugely specific comes to mind. I think of general things like I'm surprised there aren't more principal's offices, first of all. I mean, you go up into Denver and I can't think of the place right now, but you get to it through a fake bookcase. Williams and somebody else. Great cocktails anyway. So I'm kind of surprised a more dedicated speakeasy. I'm surprised there's not more of that. And then, you know, I understand why there's not, as far as I know it, a lot more experimentation in just the food realm. It's expensive. You risk a lot. But I'm hoping that what we have so far is the beginning of a greater push towards creativity, simplification, and, you know, consistent quality.
Well, Bryce, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Jake. Very much appreciate it.
That was my conversation with reporter Bryce Crawford, who recently left the Colorado Springs Independent and started the food news site RockyMountainFoodReport.com. To hear that interview again and for a link to the website, head to krcc.org. This is The Big Something. We'll be right back.